basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 149 of the MRC podcast. I'm your host, Andrew. I'm joined by my co-host, Ben, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey, everyone.
Although sometimes we call him Ben in the forum or Arcane in the forum, it's, it kind of goes back and forth, even on this very podcast, the man of many monikers.
Well, it's good to have more than one persona.
Well, that's the way it goes on the internet these days, isn't it? Getting a sock puppet and
yeah,
many different names and all many likes on your comment, everything. You know, that's the way to do it these days, at least for some people. But yes, we're here to talk about our favorite subjects, basketball and basketball video games. We are probably a few months away from the preview season really tipping off. We've had a few tidbits recently, a couple of things to talk about this week, and some fun topics as well that have been submitted by our listeners. Thank you, as always, for your topic submissions. But we do have a couple of news items to get to first that have come through in the past, 24 or 48 hours or so. The first thing I wanted to mention, when I logged in to play NBA Live 16 today, Ben,
yep.
I went into Ultimate Team, and I noticed that they've added over 100 new items to Ultimate Team. There's a little splash screen advertising as a new feature. And I did actually see some tweets earlier today from other NBA Live gamers, including one that showed the new card, player card for Dennis Rodman.
Oh, yeah?
They've changed his ratings a little bit, and he's actually been changed from a small forward to a power forward, which is certainly accurate because that is the 96 version of Rodman on the Bulls, where he didn't play small forward very often. He was mostly power forward and a bit of center as well at times. So it's nice to see them updating those cards in Ultimate Team and adding some boosts and whatnot.
Yeah, continuing the post-release support, which is nice.
And one thing that hasn't improved, unfortunately, is still can't do standing dunks in Ultimate Team, and it's really weird. And I'm guessing it must be because the rosters are locked, or maybe some of these updated cards have proper dunk packages attached to them as well. But yeah, you can do standing dunks under the rim in all other modes, but in Ultimate Team, still no dunking under the rim. It's very strange.
Well, hopefully it is addressed. You know, it'd be nice to have like those little weird sort of tweaks and stuff fixed up before new.
Or NBA Live 17, yeah.
You know, just you know, and the year or the gaming year on a solid note.
Absolutely, and I think at this point I'm not holding out too much hope for it. It may be whatever issue there is with the dunks in Ultimate Team, they haven't seemed to be able to address it so far. Well, I mean, it has been reported. I know Izzy's been very outspoken about it, Izzy Snow, and I did mention it in my wish list as well when I sent through all my feedback to the developers, which they were very receptive to, which is nice. So keep that feedback coming in the wish list thread in the forum as well. You can see my wish list there, although I did send some extra information as well just to clarify certain points, some extra bug lists and so forth. But as you said, hopefully that can be fixed up, but I'm kind of pessimistic about that one being fixed up, but it is nice to see the new content, nevertheless. But you know, 2K is actually pushing through some gameplay updates still. An update has come through that basically addresses play and game plan issues, positioning on the screen when sitting at the pick and roll and so forth. Little tinkering under the hood. Also, I'm just trying to remember some of the other tweaks that were made. Also, the timing, the release, it's easier to get green releases now, apparently.
Oh, that's good.
Which people are divided on, because you've got some people who say, well, that makes it a bit too easy, and other people say, well, if it's too difficult to be that precise, then that's, you know, mixed feelings on it, obviously. But nevertheless, they have made those tweaks. Still trying to get Stephen Curry to play like Stephen Curry, because he's breaking sim games with his play. Obviously, we've talked about that the last couple of weeks. But they did push that update through, and Dazar, the president of Sim Nation, of course, he is now working as a developer, a gameplay developer on NBA 2K. Stumbled over that one. That was weird. but he is working on in the 2K development team these days, and he actually had a live stream on his YouTube channel last night our time anyway, showing off some of the improvements. We both caught that, and yeah, so it was nice to see, obviously, the improvements made, but also it being demonstrated by Dazar.
Yeah, and you know, just and he was, one of the key things he mentioned is obviously how OKC had fired Scott Brooks, and the coach that they brought in, who's supposed to be offensively minded and all that, is.
Yep, Billy Donovan.
Yep, they're still running the same kind of plays, and
Yeah.
so it was like, was it really worth it? Was it just. Or was there some underlying reason to try and hope for the new or free agency and all that stuff? So, yeah.
I mean, that's the Thunder have been a very confusing team to watch this year, like their meltdown against the Warriors the other day. I mean, they a great team through three quarters, and this is obviously getting to the NBA discussion, which we'll get into a bit later on. But it's very strange just to watch them just melt down in those fourth quarters and have these I don't know, these brain freezes, these locking freezing up in the fourth quarter and such. But nevertheless, they did make those updates. And it is nice to see them tinkering with the game this late in the year. They did talk about how there's still things that they can't really do with NBA 2K16 that they are working on for NBA 2K17. Obviously, there's only so much you can do to a game that's already developed and can only be patched and updated. But no, that was great to see them pushing it through. They did say this is probably going to be the last major patch, and that's not surprising. I mean, it is March now, so development of NBA 2K17 well underway at this point, as is NBA Live 17 as well. So any post-release support, and that's why I'm not that confident about the updates to Live 17 fixing those issues. That's probably something they're going to have to address for Live 17. So, but it is nice, nevertheless, to see the content updates come through and some fixes. Do you think we'll see any more major patches for Live? It doesn't sound like we're getting for 2K, but do you think there might be one more for Live? Maybe a content update with some more faces, perhaps?
Yeah, probably just one little last one, I'd imagine.
Maybe in time for the playoffs in a month's time.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably know in our luck, it'll probably happen tonight or tomorrow.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm expecting one more, you know, just if they are going to add any more sort of form of content, probably coming around playoff time. I mean, because obviously some players have playoff edition versions of their shoes and stuff, then I don't know,
Of course, yeah.
that'd be a minor thing. I'm not too sure how much Live's been updating its accessories and shoes and stuff like that, so.
Pretty much accessories, the gear, bands, and so forth, and I think some shoe assignments as well. Pretty much every roster update.
Okay. But
You usually,
adding new ones in, I know that they did one or two of them, but I don't know if there's been.
I don't know about adding brand new ones. Certainly, they change the assignments if somebody's wearing a new sleeve or something like that. They certainly do that. Don't know whether they've added
Okay.
any new accessories per se. But yeah, they certainly are addressing it. So if they can put anything in content update wise, they put the Stan socks in,
Oh, yeah.
which are available for your rising star player, and also I believe they might be assigned to some people. But yeah, they are definitely in the game, so they are adding content like that.
Okay.
That came through in one of the last big updates.
All right.
So
Well, I reckon there's still a possibility of one more major, or whether it be a bit of both gameplay element, like fixing
bit of tuning.
and just maybe one more content patch in, I guess in that update. But wouldn't say, yeah, like you, I probably wouldn't hold my breath too much. I think right now they're probably just really focusing on really starting to really hammer in on Life 17 and obviously 2K17, so.
Full steam ahead working on the alpha versions of those games, no doubt, to March this year. But we will, of course, keep everyone posted on those developments. Maybe a few more faces will get added. That would certainly be a good idea. I know there's some people very vocal in our community, and rightfully so, about some of the missing faces and the fact that the placeholder faces are not particularly good placeholder faces. Nothing like the players they're actually supposed to represent, so not even good representations in lieu of a face scan. So that has been unfortunate. We've talked about that before, though, but we will, of course, keep everyone informed. But that's pretty much all the news we have for you this week. But as I said, some good topics to talk about this week. Always getting some good topics from our listeners as of late, since we've been asking for them more often. But I do want to start with one that wasn't actually submitted, but I did actually see. And this is based on a video that our good friend Izzy Snow, who I mentioned before, shout out to Izzy as always, posted a video and gave us a nice shout out, which we also appreciate. But he was talking.
Appreciate that.
Absolutely. And he was talking about what NBA Live needs to focus on, and he said that Live should focus less on NBA 2K, not throw shade, you know, especially not throw shade, and basically just be itself, find its own identity, do its own thing, and be a great game, you know, and as he said, may never overtake 2K, but that doesn't mean it can't still be a great game in its own right. And I don't know about you, but I thought that was he put it very well as well, but it's very true. I think that is what Live should do.
Yeah, there's no need to. I mean, well, both companies have been guilty of it, so.
The throwing shade.
But yeah, just just focus on what you need to do to get done, and let the product speak for itself. I think that'd be the best way to.
As you said, both companies do it. It's inevitable when you've got the competition aspect of things. Also, Live does need to make a statement and push itself and say, well, hey, we've got some good stuff going on as well, which they do. But in that, it can get caught up in making a few comments that it can be taken out of context, but even they're probably being interpreted the right way as being a bit of shade being thrown.
Yeah.
So that is something that they should avoid, because 2K obviously in a strong position on so many fronts that they're just going to come back to bite them.
Yeah.
If they do be too snarky about it. But I do think there are things that Live does need to look at what 2K is doing and do it their own way. Like, I do think they need to look at My League and My GM, particularly My League. From my perspective, I like the sandbox experience. Look at that and incorporate some of those elements into Dynasty. They really need to beef up Dynasty. So borrowing some ideas from 2K in that respect, not a bad idea whatsoever. Rising Star, look at some of the depth of My Career. Don't go the storyline route. I think they should take a different approach. Focus on what they're doing with Pro-Am. Bring back things like roster editing, all the stuff we've been talking about before. Really focusing, on what they need to do to make their game the best it can possibly be, which is what Izzy was talking about.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can look at what 2K is doing with gameplay and say, well, we need to get the animations better. We need to make the deeper controls, both things that 2K has over Live, but having our approach to controls, because I do prefer Live's controls for the most part. But also, to be an alternative, you do need to do something differently or see how can we do this better or differently. And I do think that they have that philosophy, and I hope they will be able to make those improvements to gameplay, but especially the game modes this year and the extra features like roster editing, because we really need it. It was a really, really great point and well made. And again, we really do appreciate the shout out and you tuning in every week, one of our loyal listeners. So that's was nice to hear. And also the link back to the forum, you can check that out on his YouTube channel. We might link that in the below on the. I need to start doing that more often, actually, linking that below in the show notes. But certainly put this clip up on our YouTube channel at some point, probably, so I'll make sure I'll list it in the description as well. Something else that Izzy actually brought up with a topic suggestion for this week's show was back in the days when there were more than just two basketball games on the market. And you and I are old men in our 30s.
Yep.
So, although we are actually a couple of years younger than Izzy, so we can't complain too much. that's not fair.
Wow, I did not realize that.
So,
how old is he?
That's not for me to say.
Okay.
he's an old man in his 30s as well.
Okay.
Let's say young man, because 30, still young. Let's be positive about this. The best years, as I'm told. Anyway. So he obviously remembers, as we do, the time when there was more than just the two games on the market, and not just the two sim-oriented games, but there'd be a Street or a Jam, some other game as well, maybe two or three different 5-on-5 games. You've mentioned before one of your favorite games is Total NBA 96?
Yeah, that was the first one that I had bought for PlayStation 1 and all that stuff, so yeah.
And, of course, that's the same year as NBA Live 96. I think that's kind of in the same realm as Full Court Press, although Full Court Press was the 97 season. But then you've got Total NBA 97, Full Court Press, NBA Live 97. And I'm actually want to do a couple of videos, because I have been doing some more videos for our YouTube channel, obviously. And I do want to talk a little bit about this, but the podcast is a good intro to it, I feel. But the 1998 season, because we had, I think there's about four or five games on that one, because you had Live 98, Kobe Bryant NBA Courtside, NBA Action 98, the forerunner to the NBA 2K series, and a couple of other ones, NBA Pro 98.
Yep.
And although that went by a different, that's the Konami game, that went by a couple of different names by region. So about four or five. And also 2000, the 2000 season, NBA Live 2000, Inside Drive 2000 was there, NBA 2K, the first NBA 2K under that title came out. And there was another one, which I'll just see if I can find it. Oh, Fox Sports, NBA Basketball 2000. So again, a lot of games on the market, and we've touched on this before, but it's always so interesting to bring up. It's kind of a shame we don't have more companies throwing their hat in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see what other companies would envision and where they'd take it. And again, I've stated in other podcasts, I'd like to see what, like, the team that, you know, work on, well, not so much that team directly, but, you know, with obviously the MLB, the show and all that stuff, and how big and how well they've been working on that game the last few years. And, you know, I'd like to see what they, again, could do for the NBA version and all that stuff, you know, given, yeah, the stuff that they were doing for
The dedication, the depth of that game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be right now the baseball equivalent of 2K at this stage, you know, with it in form of depth and visuals and all that stuff. And
although they're kind of like EA with the exclusivity, aren't they? Just being the
yeah.
only, or EA with a Madden or something.
Yeah,
the only company producing for one particular
yeah.
sport.
Well,
yeah, that's obviously, and the problem there, not a problem for us because we've got PlayStations, but that you're looking at a Sony exclusive there, which, I mean, baseball, pretty damn popular, but baseball games haven't really been as popular as soccer games, or football games, if you prefer.
No.
And, of course, American football and basketball.
Not really, but
that's the problem, yeah.
But it's just the polish and stuff that they've done, and
sure.
And the quality that they've done over the last, in particularly, say, 3 or 4 years, and especially transitioning into next gen and how well it's been received. It has been up there for like Sports Game of the Year awards and all that stuff as well. So
competing with 2K,
yeah, and even FIFA. So yeah,
and of course we used to get the college games as well.
Yep.
That's a problem these days because of the lawsuits and the likeness rights issues. It doesn't seem like we're going to get any college sports games for a while, except unless they can license them independently, much the same way 2K16 were able to license a few through the collegiate licensing company. So it's hard for them to actually make a college game these days without making it completely fictional, which kind of defeats the point if everything in the game is fictional. But, although one of my all-time favorite games, World League Basketball, is a fictional basketball game, so there you go. But I mean, you had the college games, you had Street, you had Jam a couple of years here and there. Back in the day, there was a plethora, you know, just to throw that word out there, nice word, plethora, of basketball games on the market. Some all offering their own thing, some better than others. Obviously, through the 90s, Live tended to be the top of the heap with its quality. But I would like to see EA, because I would like to see them continue NBA Live, obviously. I don't want to see them cancel that. But since they do have more than one studio, and since Live went to Tiburon, Burnaby, EA Canada, did Jam and Jam on Fire Edition, I would like to see a new Jam game on the current generation. I'd like to also like to see a new Street game on the current generation. Not every year, just a couple, maybe a couple of years apart, and a couple of new ones, maybe with the roster updates, just like on Fire Edition, just to complement the sim games and give us a change of pace, because Street's good for the street ball element, obviously, and what it can do, and Jam is a classic with what it does, the cartoonish, I will actually use that word, cartoonish, that cartoonish take on NBA basketball. Yeah, in fact, I posted a thread in the forum. You can find that in the other basketball games section, where we talk about anything that's not any basketball game that's not NBA Live or NBA 2K, because they have their own dedicated sections in the forum. With Jam, I'd like to see a whole lot of crazy dunks. In fact, I'd like them to bring in Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine, give him the basketball, put him in the suit, and give him a 7-foot rim, and to see what they can do on a 7-foot rim to get motion capture dunks for Jam.
Tell them to go nuts.
Yeah. And for Street, I don't know how you'd feel about this. You've played some street games, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got one of them, and I've played a couple of them in that over the years as well. So yeah.
So with Street Home Court, you went around. You had to, yeah, a bit of an RPG element of building up your player and recruiting other players as you beat teams and putting teams together. And if you weren't passing to players enough, they'd drop out of your team and they'd quit on you and such, and you have to replace them, which was kind of cool. Obviously, the real courts as well, which Live is now doing at the Pro-Am. So I'd like to see a new street game. I wouldn't mind it actually taking a similar route to My Career with the storyline for a street game, for the campaign mode. I wouldn't mind. I think that's actually a game where it could actually work.
Yeah, which is, I agree. I can see it definitely working. You know, that whole street ball legend.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's myth or, yeah, whether you live up to that legendary status or you just become like a myth in that sense or fade of memory in that sense. No, I agree. I reckon it'd be pretty cool to have that kind of story element to it.
And it's funny because I rail against the story so much with My Career. But again, different style of game.
Yep.
You know, it's something like you could actually explore because you do need to do something different with the street games and the jam games because these days the experience can be a bit shallow, so you do need the real AI as well, the more sophisticated artificial intelligence to really make those games more fun because even the classic jam games, you know how it goes. Run up, knock them down, steal a ball, score.
Three or dunk or block a three. Just repeat. Yep.
It gets repetitive. On Fire Edition was a lot better in that respect, but there's still room for improvement. So if you did do an arcade game, you would have to definitely have some extra modes, the remix tour of Jam, things like that. A full-blown, really in-depth story with branching in a street game. I think it could work, and I'd like to see that, and I'd like to see Live and 2K continue, obviously. And if somebody else wants to throw their hat in the ring and make some other games, put the pressure, you know, somebody else to compete and have good ideas, like the like Sony doing MLB The Show, I'm all for it. It would certainly be a very interesting, because it has come narrowed down basically to we're covering two games every year, and it's great that both games are getting better all the time. But yeah, I do kind of miss having different contenders or other games that bring something different to the table.
Yeah,
because there's stuff you know that Total NBA 96 did that Live 96 didn't do. I still feel that Live 96 is the better game overall, but there was definitely stuff in Total NBA 96 that Live wasn't doing.
Yeah.
And
even if you get, in 97 as well, because I know there's two games that came out, and then, but I didn't get to play that one as much, because I think I started to, I can't remember what happened there, yeah, but that was one that I was looking at.
Oh, well, see, when we finally do our meetup, I'll have to bring them along with my PS2, because I actually bought them all off eBay, Total 96, 97, 98, I've got them all on.
Oh, nice. Now.
So, yeah. And I even picked up a PS1 memory card so I can save on PS2.
Oh, sweet. So, yeah.
In my anticipation of being able to do some more stuff with our YouTube channel, I did, as you know, in the last 12 months or so, I have expanded my collection. I need to take a photo.
Actually,
you see the people that are collecting NES games and things like that and got these great collections. I've started, but it's kind of like basketball games. So, hey, it's what I do. It's what I love. So, one of the games I love. I do like other games, of course, but I don't run offside about them. So,
actually, speaking of nostalgia and photos, I showed you the other day a photo of me and a couple of my mates of when we were holidaying down the coast, and we had taken to the hotel the Xbox and all that stuff, the original Xbox.
That's right. And was it Inside Drive 2002 that you had?
No, it was NBA Live. One with Steve Francis. Yeah, the one with Steve
That's
Francis
right, yeah.
on the cover.
That's right, yeah.
So that was
Inside Drive 2002, yeah.
So, that was...
There's another one. Inside Drive 2002 came out the same year as NBA 2K2 and Live 2002, and it did things that neither game did. I actually got that off eBay as well for $5. Unfortunately, it doesn't run on my 360 for whatever reason. It was originally on the backwards compatibility list, but now it doesn't work, so... Oh, well, save up and get a cheap Xbox, I suppose. Maybe, maybe not. It's in the collection anyway. But yeah, so you posted that photo, and it's, you know, obviously we go back and we do remember that time when there was more than one game in the market and different types.
Yeah.
Both the sim and the arcade, and it's, you can get certainly get nostalgic for that, I guess.
Actually, I might post that photo tonight as like a throwback Thursday.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'll post that on Twitter tonight, and I'll even post it on the forum, I guess.
That's at ArcaneNLSC. Of course, I'm on there as at AndrewNLSC. We have very creative handles on Twitter, but hey, nowhere to find us.
Yep.
And of course, we'll plug the rest of our social media by the end of the show.
Although I appreciate the ones that tried retweeting me, but actually retweeted my clothing line a few weeks ago. So I appreciate that.
Any publicity? Yep. Publicity. So, still on the topic of old basketball games, it has come to time to talk about our week in basketball gaming, and I have been playing, as I said, a bit of Live 16. Actually, you know, who's getting back to the Live 96? I didn't play Live 96 this week. I did play some games around that era, though. But I have been playing some Live 16, Ultimate Team mostly. Not as much to talk about. I've been flat out with some other stuff this week, as you have been too. But one thing that I did want to point out was very recently, FormX in the forum posted a link to a site, Matt's Classic PC Gaming. And Matt has also joined us in the forum, so welcome to the forum, Matt, Matt1994. Matt has a site where he's posted many workarounds for playing old games on new systems, like Windows 10. For those who don't know, if you've got 64-bit Windows 10, even 64-bit Windows in general, 16-bit programs won't run. And while a lot of older games released kind of around the late 90s, early 2000s, even though they may be 32-bit programs, the installation programs are 16-bit. So you go and try and install NBA Live 2000 on a 64-bit Windows, and it will tell you that it can't be done. But if you copy it directly off the disk and put in the installation data file, and Matt has got them up on his site, or you can install it in a virtual machine and copy it across to your Windows 7 or Windows 10 64-bit, or Windows 8 for that matter, although I don't know why you'd use Windows 8. But anyway, you can set it up and actually run those programs. And he's also shown, he's got other guides on how to basically do it and for other games as well. So I did actually gave it a go because I have been running NBA Live 98, 99, 2000, 2001 in VMware, in Windows 98, Windows 2000, and Windows XP virtual machines that I've just got set up. And that works well enough. But it's even more convenient now that I can run NBA Live 98, 99, and 2000, all on my Windows 7 setup, because I haven't bothered on my main computer to upgrade to Windows 10 yet, because I like 7, thank you very much.
I like 7, but the new laptop that I got has 10 installed on it.
No, your new computer, yeah, no choice these days.
Yep.
So set it all up, and works great. It's got the NGlide, uses the NGlide when you install that, and that simulates 3DFX, so you basically get the maxed out settings and everything. And of course, I've got the rig that was never could have dreamed of when I'm playing NBA Live 98 back in 97, 98. You know, designed for a Pentium, you know, Pentium 2 maximum.
Ooh.
Those games. So yeah, an i5 is certainly going to get the job done with the 4 gig GeForce card. So yeah, so it's, you know, they work great with a bit of tweaking. The only one I haven't really been able to get to work properly is NBA Live 2001. It locks up in certain spots. I'm still working on that myself. But yeah, it's great to actually have that, because then I can just use Fraps to get screenshots and video, which is going to be great for making videos for the site. And yeah, just shout out to Matt for putting that information out there, because it never really occurred to me to do those tweaks and use NGlide and everything. I think Benji has mentioned that in the forum a couple of times before, but that information, you can go to the NBA Live Vintage section of the NLSC forum and get more information on that, and there's links to Matt's site there. And it's great for retro gaming, that I don't have to pull out an old machine or even sometimes use VMware. So I was quite chuffed with that, Ben.
That's pretty good. Well, I imagine you would be. So, yeah.
It's all worth it for the occasional screenshot when I talk about the retrospectives and such.
Yep.
And of course, I did a bit of writing tonight, always doing some writing on one thing or another. That's when I'm not chatting your ears off, listeners, I'm writing usually, posting in the forum or writing articles. And we have talked about this before, the 20th anniversary of NBA Live content. We tipped it off last year. A lot of things got in the way, mostly covering Live 16 and 2K16, but we are picking that up again. I did make my way back Wednesday this week, which covered the... There you go. I knew I played NBA Live 96 because I pulled out NBA Live 96 to talk about the expansion draft and the Super Nintendo version of NBA Live 96. I knew I wasn't crazy. well, not about that. I mean, I'm pretty crazy in many respects, I suppose. But I did play it. So you can go back and read that way back Wednesday. I did throw that in the 20th anniversary of column category as well. So you can check that out. And I completed... or certainly drafted the next retrospective in the series, NBA Live 98, which, of course, I was able to play without any problems because of the Matt's instructions and assistance there. So that will be the next one tipping off very soon, and we'll keep those retrospectives going, as well as the releases, still working on some things in the background, some little patches for all the PC versions of NBA Live. So looking forward to doing that, Ben. We are a little bit past the 20th anniversary, of course. The original anniversary would have been 2014, for the NBA Live 95 on Super Nintendo. March 1995 was when the first PC game was, first PC version of Live 95 was released. But we're going into overtime with the celebrations, and you know what? NBA Live 17 will be the 20th game officially released in the NBA Live series, so the 20 number is
still relevant.
Number
20, it's still relevant, still damn relevant. It. It's still rude so, to me.
it's still relevant to me, damn it. So, you know, good response to that stuff so far, and that it's fun to look back on. Obviously, doing the way back Wednesday, we have the midweek look back at retro stuff anyway. But yeah, stay tuned for more 20th anniversary of NBA Live stuff. I started it. I do want to finish it among all the other original content that I want to do. So look out for it soon. The next one will be the NBA Live 98 retrospective, and it's interesting, Ben, because it's a better game than I remembered. It's a better game than I remembered, NBA Live 98 PC, so might be quite interesting for people to check that out, that retrospective. But here's another question to wrap up the basketball gaming section on, and this is, actually I know this is another one from Izzy. Izzy was very busy with sending us some suggestions this week, and we could get some other suggestions as well, so thank you again as always. If the opportunity presented itself, Ben, would we work for EA Sports on NBA Live?
Maybe not how I was probably intending a couple of years ago. But I think there'd be, you know, to work with Sean O'Brien would be an awesome thing. And, and you know, hopefully work alongside Ryan Santos and that, I think would be, that'd be an interesting thing. And seeing if, you know, the changes that, you know, that EA are looking at doing, you know, to try and be more gamer friendly and all that stuff, you know, just to sort of see if the changes are actually happening internally in that sense as well. But yeah, I mean, I know realistically that probably 2K would be the better studio in terms of allowing for creative freedoms and stuff like that, but you know, that's
the word on the street.
Yeah. You know, just the opportunity to work overseas again and then create something that, you know, you have some form of history with in, you know, growing up in that. So even if it ended up only just being for like 6 months to a year.
Sure.
You know, it'd be worth it in that sense, in a sense of an achievement sort of thing. You know, you got to work on something that you loved growing up as a kid and all that stuff, and even as an adult. So yeah, it'd be an achievement sense, and you know, worth learning the ropes and seeing how, you know, different studios operate and stuff like that. So yeah,
not like a foot in the door.
Yeah. You know, that'd be a good way to establish yourself, and you know, to be able to potentially approach other studios in the end. Or I mean, it wouldn't just have to be basketball related stuff. You know, there might be other types of games that you might want to work on, but because this has such a, these games have such a short cycle, and that you'd probably get that. It'd be like doing the work experience and all that stuff, and as opposed to doing like a 4-year course, you sort of be learning it right on the rope, like on the fly in that sense.
lot of on the job training, so to speak.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you'd be able to learn and adapt to working in fast conditions and all that stuff. So, you know, and it'll be a permanent crunch time instead of, you know, being able to work on it, and then the last like 6 months to even a year becomes a crunch and all that stuff. So you sort of get in, set into that mode and adapt to those kind of conditions in a different studio. If you're working on say like a third person adventure game or something like that, as opposed to just another basketball title.
Well, we've seen people go from EA to 2K and 2K to EA before. And
to
Tim,
EA to Zynga and back. And...
Well, we've lots of vision, of course. Tim Turner, one of our founders, did go to EA originally to work on NBA Live, ended up working on FIFA at one point, and before moving on to other career opportunities. And you can go back and listen to our interview with him on the 100th episode. My interview with him. I was chatted to him for a while on that episode to hear more about what he's doing now. So obviously, again, foot in the door. Is there anything that you think might turn you away from wanting to work on NBA Live?
I think if this is going again purely by, you know, things you hear, whether it's true or not, kind of thing, you know, whether it's tied down by executives and in that sort of sense where decision-making really comes from them and really limiting the ability for the creative freedom in that sense. That would probably be the hard thing in that sense.
Like feeling you're actually having an impact?
Yeah.
And being able to, you know, express yourself and be creative in that role, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like with Naughty Dog Studio, in, you know, if someone has an idea, you know, it could be everyone has... you know, is entitled to listen to it, and the person's not shot down, you know, they'll work out whether it can be done or not, kind of thing. You know, there's no stupid idea or in that sort of thing. And, you know, if someone who might be normally like a role of like a map editor or a character model, but they come up with an idea for something that they don't normally do, you know, they get to, you know, they get that opportunity to potentially lead in how, you know, say for a character model has an idea for, a character model artist has an idea for a map, you know, they'll work with the map guy, like the environment creators and all that stuff, and or a gameplay element to them, they'll work with the gameplay guy. So, you know, there's a chance to not just sort of be stuck in the one little position, and, you know, you can grow and you can try other things and within it, and, you know, you could be multitasked as opposed to just, you know, your role is this and this only. Just sit down.
Not so much. You're not just a cog in the machine, kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. You know, yeah. You can contribute in other ways, and, you know, and I think the other thing is probably depending on how studio operates. You know, is it meetings after meetings, and then a bit of work, and then that thing, or can the teams who are working, say, like, again, on, again, just using the example of like a map or an environment scene, you know, can these guys work and the meeting at the same time, kind of thing? So, you know, they more work as a closer group as opposed to being, you know, one person's on the other side of the room and all that stuff. So it makes it hard to collaborate and
collaboration, cooperative effort. Yeah.
So, you know, things like that would probably be a deterrent in that kind of game environment, especially with such tight deadline. You know, you'd want to work as cohesively and as possible with the teams that you need to work in conjunction with to get to the ultimate goal of, you know, achieving the task.
Making the game, yeah. I mean, the crunch time, I think, is the thing that perhaps turns me off the most. Perhaps it really doesn't appeal to the lazier side of my personality, maybe, to be perfectly honest. I have mixed feelings about it because on one hand, I think, like you said, it'd be really cool to work on this game that you've played since you were very young and certainly, you know, reasonably young, you know, what, going back 20 years, so 10, 11, 12, that kind of thing. That'd be great. And working abroad, obviously, where Again, if you can't tell by our accents, we're not American, so we're not actually living in America. So we wouldn't just be moving interstate, we would be moving around the world. The fantastic experience of doing that, working at a basketball game that you've played since you were young, and being able to do this creative thing, if indeed you can. But then I also think, well, I like playing the games, and how much time would I have to sit back and play the game, and would I want to play the game that much?
And would you be able to see the game in the same way, in terms that, you know, it's like those who work in fast food industries or something like that, you don't...
Oh yeah, never eat there again.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, whether it's like that, and and that's a good way of putting it, whether it takes the magic, and not that the fast food industry I think is particularly magical, but but anything that pulls back the curtain on the whole thing. And I suppose, that's perhaps not the right analogy, because certainly there are professional wrestlers and actors and everyone else in the entertainment industry that loves their job, playing make-believe. But, yeah, sticking with the analogy of the fast food, you know, once you've seen everything and once you've worked on it and worked the 16, 17-hour days and the terrible crunch time, do you really want to... do you have the time to play? Do you have the inclination to play? And
you know, just being a developer, do you only just sort of see the flaws and then you know you got to work on that sort of thing? So,
exactly.
You know, that...
And, I do... Obviously, I've got the NLC is not my day job. I do like my day job, being self-employed. But with the NLSC, I love the stuff that I do with the NLSC, which I would obviously have to give up if I was to go and work on the other side of the gaming industry, within the industry itself, developing the games rather than reporting on them and covering on them and commentating on them and everything else that I do with the site. Do I feel that I can, where can I be most use, within the community or with the games? You know, either way, I can bring ideas to the table, and will I have that much influence? And you alluded to this as well. Will I have the influence if I went there? You know, all the ideas that I can bring about Dynasty Mode, if I went and joined the team, if there was no meaning I joined the team, the fact that I have all those ideas, does that make it any more likely they'll all get in the game? You know, because obviously it's not going to be my call to make. I'm not going to be in there, you know. I'm not going to be handed the keys, so to speak, when I'm handed in there, when I'm just new. Hey guys, yeah, I've got all these ideas, and I ran the NLSC, so, you know, listen to me, sit down, Junior. We're experienced developers, and rightfully so, to be told such a thing.
You need to obviously earn your rank in that sort of sense, and before you...
And prove oneself, absolutely. Yeah. And you can't come in as a, you know, a greenhorn, as a rookie, so to speak, and be telling everyone else what to do, and you have to, you know, do you end up becoming a cog in a machine? I don't know. Can I have more impact being a member of the community and somebody that is in touch with the development team and sending them ideas and saying, hey, this is what the community says, this is what I feel as a long-time member of the community and a long-time player of the games? But and of course, then there is, do I really want to move halfway around the world by myself? You know? So it's... is that something I want to do? So it's... I would always have to consider the opportunity if it came up, but, you know, and for EA or Visual Concepts, you'd have to consider it, but I don't know. It for what may seem like a dream job to a lot of people, I don't necessarily know if I would. And that's my honest answer. I don't know. You know, I'm still young enough to make a change. I'm not married or have no kids, so it's no problem in that respect for me to go halfway around the world and start a new... life and this amazing career and everything, but is it necessarily what I want to do? Or is a game is just something I want to enjoy and comment on and be in this role that I have in the community where I'm in touch with both my fellow gamers and the developers? And yeah, I honestly don't know if it's something I would do. It would definitely be something that I would consider, though. At the very least, you'd have to... I wouldn't just say no immediately, but wouldn't necessarily say yes immediately either, is how I'd put my feelings on the situation.
For me, for a couple of...
This is when you tell me that you're getting a job there as well, and I'm going to have to find a new podcast to host again. So
I haven't followed up on any of the, you know, sort of situations and stuff I was looking at, you know. But
you've been mentioning the show a lot, MLB the Show. Are you going to pull a Jordan and leave basketball and go to baseball for a couple of years? I mean,
well, you know, need to take a new swing at something. So,
But
you know, a few years ago when I was like, and obviously before my eye situation and stuff, you know, I was seriously attempting and getting ready to apply for either both TK and Live. And, you know, in regards, you also, when you were stating, you know, you did not have a wife or and all that stuff. So, and I
to my knowledge,
yeah. Anyway. You know, those crazy nights in Vegas, you never know. I put myself in a similar situation. I didn't want to say avoided dating, but, you know, I didn't look, you know, because to get into the dating scene and that, because I was pretty determined and I didn't want to have to drag someone who didn't see the opportunity for them over there that I'd seen for myself. So, you know, it would have been
sort of starting two new lives at once kind of thing,
yeah,
over here.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Someone, you know, maybe, you know, just had started dating for a few months, it'd be a big ask, you know, for them to leave their friends and family and that to move around, you know, halfway around the world and that. So I avoided it for a while and that, in when I was making, yeah, a serious attempt and all that stuff to prepare myself to try and get a job over there, you know, and then developing a couple little games and stuff like that, and, you know, working on the clothing stuff that I was doing and that. So, but yeah, it was just, you know, it would have been a huge ask in that sort of sense. But, you know, I'm still in a similar situation, and although I am dating more now. But, yeah, it would still be a big ask, but I'd still, at this stage, yes, I'd still want to go over to either company and that, and, you know, give it one last attempt and all that stuff and see if I do it. You know, just tick it off the bucket list, you know.
Yeah.
Don't want to regret, like, 5 years' time and say, crap, I had an opportunity.
Could have done, yeah, you know, turned it down.
You know, and that's,
you want to be sure. You want to be really sure to turn down the opportunity that you had,
yeah,
something else going on that was a bit more important or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. And this is like another reason why I don't want kids at the moment. You know, I don't see them in my future at this stage, because I want to try and do those things first, and, you know, make sure that I can tick them off, or know for certain if I can't tick them off the box first before I'd go, all right, well, time for me to settle down and be the responsible parent. So
besides, it's several years before kids can actually play basketball games properly.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's, you just stop cheesing, Ben Jr. BJ. Yeah. So it's an interesting question, and it's one that, like, again, an opportunity that you just couldn't turn down flat. But for me, I'd still have some hesitation as well. So I don't know whether I necessarily would, but, you know, we will see if the opportunity ever arises, and if one of us is making a farewell post at some point in the future, you'll know that we said yes, I guess. But, you know, we obviously have seen people come from the community before, go from the community to these positions. The companies do know that the people are passionate about the games and know and knowledgeable about the games, so not a bad resource to get your future producers and developers from, I suppose, the rabid fan base. And that is one of the great things about the way the online gaming communities have brought us closer to the developers. So thank you for all the questions this week. I believe we might have a couple more suggestions for the NBA topics. Don't have a lot of NBA stuff to talk about this week because it's kind of more of the same, but, well, it's very much more of the same, Ben. It's Stephen Curry, isn't
yeah.
it? Stephen Curry has already beaten his own record of total three-pointers in a single season. He's also topped 300 now, so they just keep racking up. Somebody's pointed out that he's had more threes, three seasons than Michael Jordan in his career. Sure, that's great. Jordan wasn't a three-point shooter. He's also had more threes than Shaquille O'Neal, for what it's worth, but and a lot more free throws as well. If we want to play the, you know, who hasn't done this game, Jordan and Russell and Wilt and everyone, they've all got their own claim to fame in that respect. But Curry does continue to light it up. Not so much against, well, he did score, he did make shots against the Lakers, but not quite enough of them, because the Lakers became the first team under 200, under 20% winning percentage on the season, to beat a team over 90% over 60 games into the season. So, you know, we talked last week about all the first to do this on the full moon while a frog was singing outside and all the other qualifications that we had these days. But that is a very bizarre statistic, especially for a team that's as red hot as the Warriors have been. But they lost to the Lakers by double digits. That's strange. They always seem to, when they do lose, they lose badly. And they are playing the Blazers again. That was going to be my bold prediction, as you know, but I'm steering clear of that, as we'll discuss shortly. That's just tragic, the bold predictions for me. But yeah, Curry's continued to do that. They did lose to the Lakers. They're still they beat the Bulls' best home winning streak, and they have a chance to extend that now. It's at currently at 45 games. So people were bragging about that, and you know what? It is looking like they're going to have a really good shot at breaking 72-10 or equaling it. I think current projections have them equaling it or falling just short, but certainly the opportunity is still there for them to break it. And do you think they will at this point? I mean, I've kind of resigning myself to the fact that it's going to happen. I think.
I think it will. I think about a month ago I was like, yeah, it's looking more official, like it will happen.
Mm.
So
the one thing though is that the Spurs are healthy and kind of rested, because they've been resting their stars a lot, because that's kind of what Greg Popovich does, and they play them two or three times before the season ends. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of shape the Spurs are in, because you know, and whether the home court will matter come the playoffs, because Ron Harper coined the phrase, you know, 70 wins don't mean a thing without the ring.
Yep.
So if the Warriors were to beat the Bulls record but then to bow out in the playoffs, suddenly the new best season of all time is the biggest choke job of all time.
Yeah.
So, and I'd be so heartbroken. which sounds like I'm hating, but you know, I'm a Bulls fan, I'm biased with it. But if it does happen, all you can do is tip your hat, because I will stop short of saying Curry is the greatest player of all time, because that's really getting ahead of ourselves. But you've got to say he's having an amazing season, a historic season. And you know, we've talked about Curry and the Warriors every single podcast this year, because you can't get away from it. They've just been so good and in the news.
Yeah. Well,
you got Russell Westbrook today had 20 points, 11 rebounds, and 20 assists. The first triple double to have 20 points and 20 assists since Rod Strickland in 1998. And Westbrook's having a hell of a season, as is Damian Lillard, as is Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is turning into one of the best two-way players in the league, but it's really overshadowed by everything that Curry's doing and the Warriors.
It's quite literally the Curry has blinded everyone.
Yeah, it's
but you know, he's having a phenomenal season.
No question.
But there's been some teams, obviously, that have been playing well. The Heat were on a 5-game win streak. They lost today. Charlotte are on a 5-game win streak at the moment, and they currently have the best record at this stage, like in terms of win records in the last, say, 10 games sort of thing at this stage. So, yeah.
Yeah, they actually have the longest active winning streak in the league right now.
Yep.
Jordan's just looking at that crying meme going, yeah.
And
says, yeah, you know, I did cry once when I won my fourth championship. How many championships do you have?
But the Hornets do have a pretty tough week coming ahead. I checked their schedule. They got, like, let's see. They got Detroit, Houston, and Dallas, and then Orlando in the next week, essentially.
It's going to be a tight race coming down the stretch for those last three or four seeds.
Yep.
Lower four seeds in the East. You've got the Hawks and the Hornets kind of out in front of the moment. Pacers just behind. The Bulls kind of pulled themselves out of a tailspin by winning a couple in a row. They had fallen to 500. they're just in eighth spot at the moment, ahead of the virtual tie with the Pistons, both same winning percentage. So, yeah, Jimmy Butler came back. But, yeah, those it is nice to see the Bulls pick it up again a little bit. But, yeah, the Hornets and the Celtics, too. The Celtics
are having a phenomenal year. I mean, no, I bet no one really saw them being third in the East. They're probably...
No. Spurs, 54-10. I mean, the Warriors are 57-6, which is great. The Spurs, 54-10, is not a terrible record. That's only 3.5 games behind the Warriors.
And you combine the amount of losses that both the Spurs and the Warriors have had, and they still have lost less than the Cavaliers.
Cavs, who are topping the East. Yeah. The Cavs, there's talk that LeBron and Kyrie aren't really gelling very well, and of course the Cavs are 6-4 in their last 10 games. They've won their last game against the Kings, but yeah, there's a bit of dysfunction there in Cleveland. So
well, yeah, LeBron had that interesting tweet out or series of tweets and stuff to didn't really say a name, but who were they alluding to, kind of thing. You know, there was some articles about that.
Been vague tweeting again,
yeah. So it's. You know, that sort
of... There's rumblings that he might leave. That's incredible. That I think he would. There's no coming back from that in Cleveland if he leaves again like this.
No, I think, yeah, he'd probably become like the Dwight Howard Harden situation where they want either one of each other to, or the other to leave, and that if of course the situation is what it's made out to be in that, obviously. So
do you think they'll still come out of the East, the Cavs? I mean, it's hard to see who else really is a frontrunner. The Heat, of course, are getting hot. The Celtics, the Raptors are kind of flying under the radar. They're 42-20. They're just 2.5 games back of the Cavs at the moment.
Yeah.
Atlanta, maybe a wild card. The Hornets. If the Bulls get healthy, you never know. It's unlikely. I don't really feel very optimistic about them, but the Pacers... Possibly, but I still feel that the Cavs are kind of the
picked
by default.
Yeah, I think in the East, yeah. Like, even though Toronto are doing really well this year, I just don't see them having that strength to really get them over the edge in the sense.
Conference finals, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably where they'll end up, like either second round or conference finals. But yeah, just... A team that could really not just challenge the Cavaliers, but, you know, potentially have, you know, challenge the West. I'm not sure. I mean...
No one's, I think, from the East are challenging the Warriors. Unless, well, or, Detroit, maybe?
Yeah.
You know what? Milwaukee's not going to make the playoffs. They're the ones who defeated the Warriors, handed them their first loss of the season. So maybe if the Bucks were in the playoffs, they would get through to the finals. It'd be a massive upset somehow. Probably not. No. You know.
Actually, I just wanted to remember. Wasn't it Derek Fisher or whatever said that, you know, that the Knicks would win 62 games this season?
No, so there's no reason why we can't reverse our record from the season before. Yeah. Well, apparently not on his watch because he's gone.
Yep.
So Kurt Rambis is in there now. Kurt Rambis.
Yeah, I just realized their record too. I was like, yeah, that's not happening this year. And,
yeah, the Knicks really dropped off 27-39. There's talk that they might get Howard in the offseason. So there's a dysfunction. Howard, Carmelo, and
oh man, that's a circus right there.
That's an off Broadway play. That is
Circus du the Knicks instead of Circus du Soleil. That's just actually Dwight also suggested he wanted to go to Milwaukee during this trade period.
Well, there was the rumors, but he wouldn't commit to the final year in his deal.
Yeah.
And which is a lot, they'd have to give up some pretty good assets to get him, and they might lose him for nothing then. And the Rockets weren't that happy with the offers they were getting for him either. But he was on the block apparently. So he's got to be in his way out. We thought he was going to get traded. At least we were right about Markieff Morris.
Yep, yep.
We did pick that one. That one's kind of a gimme.
Yep.
That was not a bold prediction at all. That was pretty easy, that one. But yeah, I thought he was going to get moved, but it sounds like he's on his way this offseason.
Yep.
This could be a lot of interesting movement in this offseason, and of course the draft is of particular interest to us because it probably will involve Ben Simmons, the Aussie, again, our countryman, if you can't tell by our accents. And we did get a question about Ben Simmons this week, and I definitely wanted to throw it to you because not only are you a Ben, but also you are a shoe guy. I was going to say Mr. Shoe, but that just sounds really stupid. but it's a question for us this week because Ben is an Aussie, as is the Ben on this podcast and the Andrew on that podcast on that matter as well. The last Aussie to be drafted and the only Aussie to be drafted, number one overall, of course, Andrew Bogut.
Yep.
So hooray for Andrews. Hooray for Andrew Bees from Australia. So Simmons projected to be a top pick and doing great things for the LSU Tigers and everything. Any thoughts on a potential $100 million shoe deal for Ben Simmons?
I've said this to one of the sneaker for like news sites and stuff like that. I think it may be in Sneaker News or something. You know, saying that he's probably not worth it. But I think at this stage, better value than what you get from what Adidas paid James Harden, which was that $200 million contract that's for like 13 years. I think potentially worth the risk in the long run. You know, he's got that build and speed and court vision and stuff like a LeBron. So I think there will be that kind of bid for him. I think it would probably what would have to be done to get him. I mean, the only thing that could potentially hurt him is, you know, all this talk about, you know, his grades and all that stuff.
Sure.
You know, and I can understand, you know, he's really wants to get drafted and all that. But I think the people that, you know, are managing, monitoring him and, you know, trying to prepare him and all that stuff. Yes, he can always get his degree and stuff, you know, as he plays, you know, professionally and all that stuff, you know, during the offseason.
As many, many players have,
But,
Do you know what Michael Jordan's degree is in?
Sorry?
Do you know what Michael Jordan's degree is in?
No, I don't.
Geography.
Wow.
And he's certainly known the world over, so maybe it's perfect.
And
it's, I mean, that is obviously concerned with
Simmons. Actually, that explains potentially why there's the image of the globe on his Air Jordan 30. I wonder if that was the inspiration for it.
Yeah, I think that's just, you know, best in the world, maybe.
True. But he's also had it, I think, referenced in the Jordan 9 in some form. Yeah, there's like a globe sort of wall look. Okay, well, Tinker does tend to use references and stuff from, you know, sort of portray something from him, so that might be. I wonder if there was a connection in between those two things. But
I should also note Ben Simmons was born in the Melbourne suburb of Fitzroy, but actually raised in Newcastle, which is where I'm from and still am. So that's pretty cool. Played his first year of basketball at the age of. I'm reading off Wikipedia here. I didn't know this. But yeah, played his first year of basketball at the age of 7 in the Newcastle Hunters under 12 representative team. So that's pretty cool. So, okay, so I'm definitely a fan of Ben Simmons now. So, but that, I mean, that, what I was going to ask you was, what do you think this is going to mean for Australian basketball? Because, you know, we've had a fair few players in the NBA over the years. Luke Longley, one of my all-time favorites, obviously. That was great to see him have an Aussie on the Bulls for three straight championship years. Shane Heal's made it. Andrew Gaze has had a cup of coffee with a couple of teams, including the, although he wasn't on the playoff roster, winning the title with the Spurs in 1999. Bogut, of course, going first overall. But, I mean, this is somebody who could perhaps really be a star in the league as an Aussie, and I think that's really going to help. It's lift the profile of basketball in this country too, hopefully.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping that, you know, I was kind of hoping with Bogut that it'll and even with Paddy and all that stuff, that, you know, it would bring more free-to-air games and all that stuff to TV here. But I think if Simmons does get that kind of money, like from his contract, and I think TV networks, I mean, I think one of our TV channels here went nuts and bought the NFL rights just because, you know, that chance of Jared Haney could make it with the
Sure.
49ers and that. So kind of hoping, you know, there's that sort of
Good point,
flow-on
yeah.
effect in that. And, you know, it'd be a good way to market the game here more. And obviously now that even our National League is starting to look a little bit better, it's had a really good year.
NBL reference, it's been weeks.
It's just wrapped up for the year, but it's been a good year, and obviously I have my team coming back next season after8-year hiatus. So, got things to look for, and it actually included a free-to-air deal. You know, in most games we're like a recap from like a couple of days earlier, but we occasionally got like a live game and stuff like that on a Sunday afternoon and that. So, if it does something like that, that's good in that way, and you know, more exposure for it. You know, we've got people that will obviously go nuts and buy a Ben Simmons jersey. I will be one of those. So yeah, it'll be. I think it would be good if it happens and all that stuff. And I think, and especially if he gets that big 100 mil contract for footwear. I expect it to be at least a potentially 7 to 8 year deal, maybe a 10 year deal at most. You know, just so that they can justify that sort of expense and all that stuff. I mean, so yeah, I think there could be a gamble of it. Under Armour will want to try and make a stab, you know, try and get another big name. Since they missed out on Kevin Durant, I mean, yes, they got Curry at the moment, and you know, he's just been signed to 2024 with them. Adidas might splurge now that they don't have as much, as many big name players, I guess, with big contracts anymore, with like Dwight and John Wall not with them anymore.
Derrick Rose not being the star that he once
Yeah,
was.
exactly. I mean, they've got,
But they do have
yeah,
Lillard's.
Lillard's an up and coming, and they obviously they got the big James Harden contract. So you know, they might make a splurge.
Well, I mean, the main thing is that obviously the shoe is relevant to in some respect, but the fact that there are these this money being thrown at this potential prospect is. It's pretty good news, I guess, for his chances.
Yeah.
I mean, anything can happen once he gets to the NBA. We've certainly seen great college players fizzle, but he certainly appears to have the talent and the physique and the athleticism and the skill set, all the tools to succeed in the NBA. So it'll be great. It'll be great to see another Aussie, an Aussie star in the NBA. That'd be really
Yeah,
interesting
I
and
mean,
really fun. And the fact that
as much as we claim Kyrie, obviously because he was born here and that, but you know, he's someone that actually represents Australia and stuff like that,
Yeah,
you know, and
exactly.
in the international scene. I mean, yeah, we've had a few NBA champs aside from Luke Longley and Bogut, you know, Patty
Patty
Mills and
Mills.
Aaron Baines. So yeah, you know.
And Aaron Baines is originally a Kiwi as well, so
But we claim them anyway.
let's just ask Crowded House.
Yeah,
But
and Russell Crowe.
so we're obviously fans of Ben Simmons. Got to love anyone, Benjamin, Benjamin, another appropriate basketball name. It's right up there with Tim Duncan, really.
I
So
actually wanted that on my scene for high school.
Benjamin.
Yeah, but yeah, some people alluded that it might be stupid.
What do they know? What do they
I
know?
know.
So we are coming to the end of episode number 149 of the NLC podcast, but that means it is time for this segment that I am not doing well in and that Ben is doing at least a little bit better in. It is time for our bold predictions. And I am 0 of 13, lucky 13 or unlucky 13. We joked about it, Ben. We joked about how now that I'd predicted Hassan Whiteside now that I predicted he'd get his seventh straight triple double-double, that it wouldn't happen. He got 9 points and double-digit rebounds. So close. And of course it was just 1 point short because, why not? You found out, as I found out, that dealing with the Warriors in our bold predictions does not come well. But you know something? I said that they would, no, trying to jinx them, I said that they would win every game from last week onwards. So who had the power? Was it you jinxing them, or was it I jinxing them?
I think.
And because we both put it out there, we didn't really. It wasn't scientific. We don't know. You know.
Yep.
What was the placebo? What was the sugar pill? And what was the cure? We don't know. But nevertheless, I was really tempted to pick the Blazers going over the Warriors because they did beat by 32 points, with Lillard dropping the 51 on Curry and the Warriors. It was very tempting, but I've learned my lesson. The Warriors, it's just not going to work out for me. So I'm actually going to... my bold prediction, not quite as bold, but still considering recent play, it's you know, not a given. Like anything I've said is a given. But I'm actually going to pick the my Bulls going over your Heat on ESPN NBA Friday this week.
That's pretty bold. I like that one. You know, Wade does have a good history of against the Bulls and stuff. Like, he's...
Hometown.
Yep. So, yeah, I like that bet. I reckon you're...
Maybe on the board, 1-14. Yeah. Well, you know, you keep going to the well, eventually going to find water, so...
Yep. Even if it is salty.
And it's... Oh.
And, I was looking at mine, and I'm going to go that Philadelphia and their losing streak this week. And I have a feeling probably the better chances will be against Brooklyn, who they play twice this week. But yeah, I reckon that they'll end their losing streak.
To an end, yeah. That's pretty solid. You know, they've been playing a bit better in the new year. Trying to get a few wins. I don't think they've actually got a winning streak as such, but they do have 8 wins. They're ahead of the all-time... Well, actually, no, the Bobcats have the worst record now in the lockout season, but the worst record in a full season, the 9-73 76ers in 1973, if I recall correctly, the last season that Hal Greer played. So here's a question for you. This has nothing to do with bold predictions, but, you know, everyone's... The joke is, every time you see on social media, talks about the Warriors, someone says, oh, could they beat the 95-96 Bulls? Like, yes, very funny, you know, comparisons, etc. It is an interesting comparison, sure. The Bulls versus the 96 Bulls versus the 2016 Warriors. But, okay, who wins this one? The 73-76ers or the 2016 76ers? Who wins that abomination of a game?
I'll put it in this year's 76ers. I think the fact that they're a little bit more athletic.
Yeah.
And probably physically more stronger in that sense. But yeah, it probably could be an ugly match still, but...
Yeah. Toss a coin and hope it doesn't come down.
Yeah.
It's not, would not be a good...
Just keep the coin in your pocket. You're probably a safer bet.
Yeah, it goes up and it's going to roll down the storm drain, isn't it? When
you... Yep.
Yeah. Well, those are our bold predictions, so we'll see if I get on the board, and that would actually bring you back to 500 if you're right. So let's see how we do next week, because we're doing so well. But I do enjoy the bold predictions. I even, you know, as terribly as I'm doing, it's actually kind of funny that I'm doing so badly. So I don't mind a running joke. You know, if you can't laugh at yourself, you know, what's the point of living?
That's true.
So. But that has brought us to the end of another episode of the NLC Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about basketball and basketball video games. If you did and would like to continue listening to us, of course you can listen to our back catalogue on the site. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. Catch us on Stitcher if you want to listen to us on the go. If you'd like to drop us a line, you can always do that in the forum. We'd love to see new members all the time, but we're also on social media, on Twitter, at the NLSC, on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. But most of all, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for all our original content, our great modding community, this podcast, and everything else we do. But until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And remember, just because you can make a blockbuster trade in a franchise mode, doesn't mean you should. See you next week.
See ya.